But how did black artists treat you?
Great. That's where I'm. Listen,
like Tupac or Biggie or those guys.
Oh, good friends of mine. I was friends with Tupac way before he even blew up. When N.W.A. He was with Digital Underground. N.W.A. I was the opening act. Listen, I was the opening act for the opening act for the opening act for the opener for the opener when we did the Stop the Violence tour with N.W.A., Stetsasonic, EPMD, Sir Mix-a-Lot. So I was that kid out there, and they were great friends. Man. They embraced me, man. And my whole crowd was always black. I never thought I'd ever play for white people until my music went number one. And when it went number one, all of a sudden my crowds went, well, I went from smaller crowds to huge stadiums in rap music. It just hadn't been done like that before. So for me, I was just like, whoa. And here I am on tour now with, I think it was MC Hammer, and it's just gone mainstream. And it was us because it was my record that was first rap record to go number one. So it was pretty phenomenal how it just, you know, we brought it kind of out of the hood and into the mainstream.
The importance of video to that number one hit was what?
Well, Ice Ice Baby came out. Yeah. I was 16 years old when I wrote that song, and it didn't really come out for 3 years later. We didn't have enough money to buy a video, so I had to borrow some money to make the video, and we just, you know, kind of scrounged it together and put it out. It became the number one video on MTV ever, probably the cheapest video ever played on MTV. But it was an amazing phenomenon, and when the Ninja Rap came out is when it really set in and put the concrete in. Because everybody, like you and I, grew up to the Ninja Turtles, but everybody today is growing up to them. It's huge. It's bigger than, you know, you would never think Star Wars would be topped or Star Trek would be topped because, you know, being us, we kind of grew up to that, and that's like the big phenomenon. Well, Ninja Turtles has tripled, both of those together combined. It's amazing. They have a whole row, you know, when you go into the department stores or whatever, you go in there and you see Ninja Turtle aisle. It's crazy how big it's gotten.
Well, how big? Give people an idea of how big you were at the peak of your career.
160 million records and still selling. My record that was released 20 something years ago, I with To the Extreme, has every year sold over 2-3 million copies every year. Still, since it's coming out, just this year alone is already probably 3 or 4 million. It's crazy phenomenon. To the point where most rappers that everybody think is big in America. There's another step. It's called the world. And I never thought that rap music would leave America. And all of a sudden, I'm playing in Russia, China. I've played in Muslim countries. And I mean, it's crazy where it'll take you. And the people don't even speak English. And then I get letters and stuff back talking about, I learned to speak English on your music. By the way, what is a gauge in a 9? And did you solve the problem?
Yeah, what was the problem that you were supposed to solve?
Any problem. It's just being positive. If there's a problem, yo, solve it.
You know, when I saw this clip a while ago, because y'all know I keep the clips and I film them later, I thought one thing. As I just watched it right now, I was looking at him and I'm just like, I'm not about to talk about this dude. Because Vanilla Ice represented everything that was wrong with mainstream music at the time. They were taking something, like he said, out of the hood and taking it to the mainstream. They were trying to make him the white MC Hammer. It was culture vulture at its finest. At an extremely high level. But then I got out of my own way and I got out of my own ego. And I remember how young I was when Vanilla Ice was on the scene. I was like 6 or 7. And I remember how massive it was. And it was this massive because of a lot of things he said in his video that, once again, regardless of how you feel about the person and what they've been through or what they do, you can still learn from them. I thought I would never say this in my life. There's 3 things that every artist can learn from Vanilla Ice. That is a quote. We need to keep that. And I'm going to break down these 3 things right here in this video. So stay locked in if you want to get that, because this is stuff that can help every single artist out there. Before you do that, hit like, hit share, comment, save, subscribe, watch this entire video, and make sure you watch another video on YouTube so we can keep that session time running up.
My ducks, my swans, welcome to the pond.
My name is Dorian from Group82University.com, and right here we got Vanilla Ice, Rob Van Winkle, I think is his name. I didn't even do no background research because I don't need to. Talking about how he sold 160 million records. No fluff, let's get straight to it. These are the three things every single artist can learn from what Vanilla Ice did. Number one, mainstream appeal. If you want to sell a massive amount of records, or even if you want to go number one on iTunes, you got to have some sort of mainstream appeal. People that don't look like you are people that might not truly understand your culture and your music. They have to appeal to you. That doesn't mean you got to go out here and have photo shoots with you acting like you're pregnant in a wedding dress. That doesn't mean that you got to go out here and dye your hair all types of colors and put tattoos all over your face and walk around looking like a for real clown, a for real joker in order to bring attention to yourself. Mainstream appeal is just having something that people can gravitate towards. For example, with me, like I have mainstream appeal because people might like how I look. People might like how I talk. People might like that I tell y'all to shut the fuck up and kiss my black ass. That's mainstream appeal because I'm able to be me. Dorian is authentic. Dorian is genuine. Dorian is aggressive. Dorian is a Leo. Dorian is strong. Dorian is sexy. Dorian's an asshole. Whatever it is. A lot of those things are mainstream appeal. You have to figure out what your mainstream appeal is if you want to sell music. You have to find a way to translate the intricacies of your culture and your content and what you're about through your art form for other people's consumption. And if you can't figure that out, you're not going to sell massive amounts of records. Drake has figured out his mainstream appeal. When he came out, he was going to be the rapper that women could listen to no matter what they're going through. And here we are 12 years, 13 years later, whatever it is, and he's still doing the same thing. J. Cole's mainstream appeal for everybody who went to college and took out student loans, try to figure their life out in their career. Kendrick Lamar's mainstream appeal. I grew up in Compton, but I have an entirely different perspective because I'm not in the gang, but I am gang affiliated. And I'm going to tell y'all what I saw. Mainstream appeal. What's your mainstream appeal? If you're an artist and you're watching me right now, I want you to write in the comments what your mainstream appeal is. If you're in my class how to market your music on social media, you better know this because we talk about this in the very first game of the class. So I want to know who's been paying attention, who's been doing the work inside the class. Write what your mainstream appeal is right now. Number two, reason that Vanilla Ice was able to sell 160 million records. Cosigns can take your records from here to here. The problem being with cosigns is that the amount of things you have to do in order to get someone to cosign for you, in order to get someone to say that you're dope, to give you a verse, to get you a beat, it's just unnecessary. You might have to give up your masters, you might have to give up your publishing, you're definitely going to give up some royalties, you're going to have to pay them a fee, and there might be some sort of caveats in the contract about how you can market this song that they gave you, how you can promote this song they gave you, when you can perform it. There's always some sort of political red tape because anybody that can get you a massively big cosign is usually signed to a major label, so therefore they're not going to give up their intellectual property that easily, and the label's not going to let them do that. But in today's world on social media, you can get cosigns for free. I'm going to say that again. In today's world in social media, you can get cosigns for free. How? You're looking at it. Did I pay Vanilla Ice for this video? Did I pay Dan Patrick for this video? Did I have to go to New York or wherever Dan Patrick's located and sit there and talk to him and make sure Vanilla Ice was ready after he did this and said, I didn't have to do any of that. I did nothing. I watched the clip, I put it on here, and I'm giving my opinion about it. This is a cosign. Anyone's interested in Vanilla Ice, which there are people that still search for, go check the search volume, they're gonna watch this. Anybody interested in the music industry, they're going to watch this. And my entire channel is set up like that right now. Whether it's Vanilla Ice, 50 Cent, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Jay-Z, Drake, J. Cole, it doesn't matter. I have videos on all of them. I'm using their marketing to bring attention to myself with the cosign. Like Ice Cube did with the big three in the NBA. Well, how did Vanilla Ice do this? The cosign was the damn Ninja Turtles. I know y'all don't understand that, but listen, coming from somebody who loved nothing more in the world at one point in his life than the Ninja Turtles and my nigga Michelangelo, I'm telling you right now, there was nothing bigger. And when he got on Ninja Turtles 2, the movie, The Secret of the Ooze, and he did the Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go, that shit was rocking. And every single elementary age school boy across the country was singing that shit. It was a massive cosign. And to this day, Ninja Turtles is still getting his ass paid. That's how you do it. So if you know anybody that's getting sync deals, if you know anybody that has the opportunity to get their music in a TV show or a movie or a video game and the contract works, make sure they do that, because you don't know what's going to pop off and you don't know how much it's going to pay you. You think I'm joking? Go look at the people that wrote the theme song, The Friends. They're a band. They're called the Rembrandts. Go look up their story. Look up what other songs they got. You're only going to know one. That's the only one you need to know. It set them up forever. Generational wealth. And the third and final thing I want everybody to learn from Vanilla Ice selling 160 million records is fearlessness. You cannot be in this industry if you don't have fearlessness. Vanilla Ice was a white dude trying to rap in the 80s, and then he became a white dude trying to rap and dance in the 90s. His entire backup dancers were black. His band was black. He had choirs in the background from churches that were black. He was literally trying to be Hammer. And guess what? It worked. He had to deal with Suge Knight hanging him over a balcony to try to get his mastered. Suge Knight did get him. That's how we got Death Row. Thank you, Suge Knight. Thank you, Suge Knight. And thank you, Vanilla Ice, for being one of the early investors in Death Row, unwillingly. You gotta be fearless, man. All them artists I talked about throughout this video, they're fearless. They ain't scared of nothing. They ain't scared of nobody. That's not saying that they don't feel fear. They just don't let fear stop them. Vanilla Ice is able to still talk about this to this day and still get paid from this to this day because of fearlessness. That fear is crippling. It can paralyze you. It will stop you from seeking true happiness. Fear is the worst infliction that anybody can have, and we all experience it, but some of us don't let it stop us. I cannot remember the last time I let fear stop me from doing something I truly wanted to do. And if you want to be in this music business, the music industry, you can't be fearful. You got to have some fearlessness. And when you experience that fear and you fear it, you just got to ignore it. You got to move past it. It gets to the point where if you're not experiencing fear, you feel like you're not doing something right. Because every single thing in my life that has happened in the music industry that really, really made it go, fear came first. So I know if I'm feeling fear, I'm on the right track. What about you? Anybody that's done anything in the music business, what happened when you experienced fear? Was it something good? Was it something bad? What tales do you have when you know that you are on the right path, which a lot of you want to know? I want y'all to write that in the comments. For those of y'all that are tired of being fearful and are ready to get over your fear, you need to know how to market your music on social media, which is our class, How to Market Your Music on Social Media. You can get it. It's regularly $2,000. Right now it's $1,000, and you can get in for only $250. That'll be your first payment through PayPal credit. Get the entire class and do that right now. So go to Instagram, click that link up top, go to YouTube, click the link in the box, and roll in that class right now, and make sure you watch another video of mine right now. I'm out the pond. Y'all stay true.
Group82University.com.